Right, I'd like to welcome to the show now our Finance Minister, Pascal Donoghue. We want to talk to Minister Donoghue about the latest government living with COVID plan announced earlier this week by Taoiseach Micheál Martin. Minister, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us on the show this morning.
Thank you for having me on your programme,
Niall. Living with COVID and the way the government are dealing with it, is it not best summed up, Minister, do you think, by the Irish Times survey this morning, which shows that over half the population, 55% of people, now believe that you're not doing a good job in dealing with the pandemic? That's a fairly damning indictment.
And I absolutely understand the anxiety and difficulty that many are facing at the moment, Niall. And it is a pandemic now that has lasted a year. Only yesterday, we again saw the loss of life to so many families, particularly in our intensive care units. And in the context of the suffering, the loss of life and the anxiety that many face at the moment, of course I understand why that then it leads to a questioning of how the government is handling the pandemic and raises issues regarding decisions that we're making. Of course I understand that. But we have been successful in avoiding the loss of life within our country. We do have supports in place now to protect income, to protect jobs at a time of such crisis. And we have a vaccination programme that's making a massive difference, even now, to the health of many.
I take that on board, Minister, but what we're getting from people, and we're getting it again this morning, is that there's nothing in this plan as regards hope, giving hope to people. And perhaps hope is what people need more than ever now. You know, we're told to stay as we are, hold firm, do the right thing, obey the regulations. People, for the most part, Minister, as you know, are completely fed up obeying regulations. They're fed up of holding firm and they're getting what they see as precious little in return.
Hope looks like the 131,898 of our fellow citizens, our brothers, our sisters, our mothers, our fathers, our grandparents who are now vaccinated today. Hope, I hope, also looks like the million doses per month that will be coming into our country of vaccinations that can help us contain and then beat this disease. Hope, I've made the case respectfully to your listeners as well, maybe also could lie in the fact that we've been able to keep a set of supports in place for our economy, for income, for employers, for so many. That means when this pandemic passes, which it will, when we beat this disease, which we will, we're laying the foundations now for the ability of our country to recover. And I know my words can sound hollow, and I know many will question, will we ever get there? Will this ever end, given how long we have now been battling with this terrible disease for? But the vaccinations that we are now discussing, the choice of vaccinations that we are discussing, is what hope looks like. It can save lives. It can prevent the spread of the disease. And our country will be able to turn these vaccines into a vaccination programme that will lay the foundations for getting our health back.
I'm just looking at some of the messages coming in. We've got one from a frustrated plumber, another from a tiler. As Finance Minister in particular, what would you say this morning to all those hard-pressed business people out there, particularly those who have small businesses? When are they likely to be allowed to reopen? Their backs are to the wall, as you know.
Oh, their backs,
Minister,
are very much against
them. And for many of them, the concept is not when they'll be allowed to reopen, but if they'll ever reopen.
Well, they will reopen, and...
But it might not be financially viable for many to reopen.
I recognise that their backs are against the wall, and I recognise the strain, the difficulty that so many face with their businesses being closed for so long. But in acknowledging that anxiety, I'd also make the case to them, if I could, through you, that the reason we have the restrictions in place in the first place is to keep them, their staff, their families safe. We've had over 4,000 people of our neighbours, of our friends, lose their lives due to this disease. And what we are doing is we're now engaged in a battle between infections and injections, the injections being the jab. And when we get to the right place with our vaccination programme, which we are, day by day, week by week, we will get to a point in which our country can then reopen. But I'd ask us to cast our mind back to where we were in January, where we were in November and where we were in December. When we did go ahead with a program to reopen our country and our economy, it was open for a while, and we had to close it down again because we got hit with a third wave. And what we're trying to do now is build the barricades and lay the defences against preventing a fourth wave with all the harm that could cause to us.
One of the criticisms, as you know, Minister, is you're sending out a very strong message here on Ocean FM this morning, but Stephen Donnelly may say something different on another local radio station or on the national air, as may Micheál Martin. Why can't you, as a government, why can't you have a clear, unambiguous message for people? Because the uncertainty and the contradictions between politicians and particularly political parties, this one upmanship between Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, which seems to be ongoing, it's not serving us well, Minister. Would you accept that?
Well, if I could deal with each of the points you've made in turn. Firstly, the point you've made about uncertainty, Niall, which is a really important point that I'd just like to say a word about. And then the question you've put to me, which I will answer, regarding the apparent contradictions and regarding how the parties are perceived in government. And I'll do my best to answer that question too. Just on the point, though, about uncertainty, again, and I know as I make this point, this is after nearly a year of all of us dealing with this disease, with the strain and the tiredness that is inherent in that. But we can only give certainty when we are clear about how we are doing with our vaccination program and where we are with community transmission with the spread of the disease. We are dealing with a disease that is unpredictable and inherently uncertain. So for me to be able to give you certain answers, absolute guarantees about the really important questions that you are putting to me, would belie the fact that we have an enemy in COVID-19 that's completely unpredictable and that has even in the last year completely changed as a disease. And that is why, and I know the frustration is there, I can give clear, certain answers to some things you put to me, but for other things you put to me, I can outline how we will handle them in the coming weeks. In relation to your second question there regarding, you know, the relations between the two parties, from working very closely with Stephen Donnelly, I can tell you he couldn't be working harder and he has an extraordinarily demanding job. And I think it has been the case that as all of us have been doing so many interviews over the last week or two, we're all getting but really, really important questions to us by you and your colleagues. And we all attempt to answer them as politicians and as members of government. And I think maybe that is a reason why the plan that we launched earlier on in the week is so important, because it is also about us bringing the consistency to our guidance that I know your listeners want. And indeed, I know you as a journalist expect.
Right, okay, I know you say Stephen Donnelly is working very hard and doing a good job. I don't know if you've read, well, obviously you were probably, no doubt, at the Parliamentary Party meeting last night, but there are reports in the Irish Independent today which suggest that there was severe criticism, not only of Micheál Martin's leadership, but of Stephen Donnelly, from some very eminent Fine Gael members, former ministers John Paul Phelan and Francis Fitzgerald and Regina Doherty. That doesn't bode well, does it, for the future of the coalition government if members of your party
part of the small group of politicians that are probably left that believe that what we talk about in cabinet and what we talk about in parliamentary parties should stay there because it is important that we have areas in which we can engage with each other openly and give our views on really important matters and then try to decide on them and then be accountable on our decisions to people like you and to your listeners. But look, the truth is that when parliamentary parties meet every week, what they do is they reflect back to their ministers and to their leader, either the hope of where a country stands at any given week, or the anxiety, or the worry, and the frustration. And, the parliamentary party meetings are reflecting back the anxiety that many do have now, regarding how we're going to get out of this disease and how we're going to get to a better place. And I believe this government is the one that is best placed to get our country through it. A coalition of three parties, but it is three parties that have never worked together like this. And it's not always easy because of that, but we do our very best. And I also believe when we get through this disease and when we get to a better place, which we will, the parties, the personalities, the different figures that are there, and indeed the different political outlooks, will come together to rebuild our country and get us then to an even better place beyond the disease.
Okay. Well,
as I say all of that, of course, I do again recognise the concern that many of your listeners have today about lots of the issues that I'm raising.
Okay. Well, you are making an important announcement this morning, Minister, in relation to the extension of the Employment Wage Subsidy Scheme and the COVID Restriction Support Scheme. So what are you announcing? What can you tell us?
Well, we are just reaffirming that the supports that we have in place at the moment, Niall, that are making such a difference to hundreds of thousands of employers and many hundreds of thousands of our fellow, to tens of thousands of employers, I should say, sorry, and hundreds of thousands of our fellow citizens, those schemes are going to be extended up to the end of June. And the wage subsidy scheme, is paying the wages of many, many employees who work for companies that are viable, but are obviously in great difficulty at the moment. And then the pandemic unemployment payment is supporting the income of hundreds of thousands of our citizens when they're not able to work because their employer is closed. And they're massively important schemes at a time of great challenge.
A final question, and it's the one which is annoying people the most this morning, Minister, when we said you were coming on. The situation at our ports and airports, why can't we have more stringent checks? Why can't we close them down? Some people want to know. Why isn't there mandatory quarantine in that? That's the source of a lot of our problems in this country, they're suggesting.
Well, the issue of international travel is clearly a really important contributor to where we are with the disease. However, it does account for less than 1% of all of the COVID incidents that we have within our country. So it is very important, but it does contribute to a minority of cases of COVID creation within Ireland. We do have mandatory quarantine in place at the moment, where we require people to stay at home and stay in their houses if they have been travelling to Ireland from abroad. And we are bringing forward the legislation to put in place mandatory quarantine hotels or centres, and that legislation will be passed next week. But for anybody who is thinks that we haven't done enough to reduce access in and out of our airports, I mean, going to our airports, there is a tiny fraction of the number of people travelling through our airports that were a year ago, to the extent that many of our airports, many of our airlines are concerned about what their future is going to be. There has been a reduction of over 95% in the amount of travel in and out of most of our airports, and that small amount of travel that is left, for many cases, it is for travel that's really important for businesses and the maintenance of jobs in our country, or it's personal travel for really important reasons. But what we will be doing is having the legislation passed next week for mandatory quarantine centres. But I do have to emphasise what it is really important. It is a small share of the total number of incidents of COVID within Ireland at the moment.
Okay, I want to ask you a very, very final question. And I know you're going to say you can predict, but people in the UK were told earlier this week by their Prime Minister Boris Johnson that it'll be life as they knew it previously from the 21st of June this year. And prediction and an announcement and declaration is the envy of many people here. How far are we away from an announcement like that, do you think, Minister?
Well, earlier on in the interview, Niall, you were asking, putting a very fair point to me about why I can't answer important questions clearly. I'm pointing to the contradictions between what we are saying now and maybe the apparent contradictions of what we may have said a few weeks ago. And, like, I will leave it to other governments make those kind of commitments and then to be able to stand over them. Because it does appear to me that even though we will beat this disease and we will be able to reopen again and we'll get to a far better place than we are now, saying that we're going to do that before or in early summer is quite the goal to set. And it will be, I think, up to Prime Minister Johnson and his government to be able to deliver that. If they can, that's great for them, and indeed it will help with our health as well. In terms of where I think we can be, Look, first, the schools are going to be going back across the next number of weeks. It's going to make a massive difference to young children, to young girls and boys, and to their families. And if we keep on making the kind of progress we've begun to make, albeit it is slowing down, I do believe we will see the slow and steady and gradually return to our economy being open, people being able to go back to work, and allowing a degree of mobility within our country that we haven't had for so long. But the truth of it is that it's contingent on our vaccination programme working, which it will, which mm-hmm. we're going to do all we can to make it work. And then it's also contingent on all of us continuing to do our best to implement the public health guidance. Because the disease that we are dealing with doesn't care about our jobs, doesn't care about us, it'll make us sick, and tragically it will kill some people as well. And yesterday is a sad reminder of the strength of the enemy that we are still dealing with. And we've made such progress as a country, but we do need to make a bit more. And when we make that progress and combine it with the vaccine, I look forward to being on your programme later on in the year. And of course, while you still hold me to account for lots of things, which is your job, I really believe if you have me back on later on in the year, we'll be in a better place than we are today.